Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIA Football Podcast powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, your experts in web stores for apparel, merch, and uniforms since 1974. I tell you what, actually, I just ordered a couple days ago a Franklin County t-shirt. My buddy John is doing a web store through AdCraft for Franklin County, and I can't wait to get it in. It's the cheapest t-shirt they have because, you know, I love my buddy, but I don't love him like $45 worth. You know, but I know I'm still going to get a good product for the money that I'm paying. And that's what you get from AdCraft. Matt, it's the end. It's the sun. We've made it through every single doggone division in the NAIA. And you know what that means?
What does that mean?
It means we're about to freaking kick off the season.
Finally.
I've got to put stats together tonight. I've got to get all my stats together and send them off to my voters. We're going to start to get our poll should be coming out fairly soon. Chatting with the NAIA here soon. And we're going to get to the getting. So let's get to the getting tonight. And tonight with the sun, we're going to start with the new kids on the block. That's right, the Thomas Nighthawks. That's two words, Nighthawks. I'm contractually obligated to let you know that is two words. I am wearing my TU shirt. I'm going to do my best to not be a TU homer, saying that TU is about 45 minutes from my house. And yes, I am calling their football games this year, so I'm gonna have to try real hard to not be an absolute Thomas Homer.
It's kind of fun to have a home and AIA team to root for.
It really
you know?
Is.
It's kind of exciting.
You know, I've had it for the last couple of years with Flag, but it's been watching for the last couple of years while they've announced the football program and started to get it online. It's almost time. It's going to be fun. They're running very Oregon spread option RPO attack, kind of with the way that it was described to me by Coach Mitt Jans, who is most recently of Citadel. No, they're not running like Flexbone, Citadel, Army-Navy, straight triple. I guess they value knees too much to do that. But it's going to be kind of akin to Dort, if I had to venture a guess. Haven't really gotten a chance to really see it yet. I will here in a couple weeks when they open up their season with an exhibition matchup. I'll get to see it. It's going to be an odd man front here for the Thomas Nighthawks on defense. And they're going to be very multiple, which is coach speak for we're not going to quite tell you what we're going to do, but we're going to do some different things, but you're not allowed to know.
I don't know, Corey. I'm really excited to see this team, how it goes. Obviously, being in the South Georgia area, you're near Florida. You already know how recruiting been in Georgia. Like, there's so much talent to pull from. And obviously, the Sun, like, everybody kind of gets that benefit of being in that Southeast bed, but it's fun to sell a new program. We've seen it with programs like Mount Marty and Judson and some of the talent they've been able to acquire over the past few years as new programs come into the NAIA. So a lot of fun stuff to work with, and it can't be overlooked that you have a FCS guy coming down to the NAIA to see what he can do at a new program. I'm super excited. When I think Oregon spread option RPO, I'm thinking like prime Marcus Mariota days, and I'm a Husky fan, so like, don't like thinking about those days, but that's some pretty good offense. So if that's what we're getting hints at, it's going to be Wow.
The name Chip Kelly came up several times. I'll throw that out there. It is going to be fun. I mean, the Florida Panhandle is one of is an under-recruited area. South Georgia is a recruiting hotbed. The national championship teams from Florida State were both built out of both Miami and South Georgia. It's kind of like it's the South's version of Iowa, where that's where you find your big boys. Is in South Georgia. So we'll see. Thomas is running their program a little bit differently, where it's a veteran-heavy program. Not like I've been around a while, but military veterans. It's a military transitional program. And we're going to see how that works out for Thomas. They're wanting to get guys into junior ROTC. Regular ROTC. That's colleges, regular ROTC. And guys who have been in the armed forces as a way to transition to civilian life. We'll see how that works out for the Nighthawks. I'm ready to get back into the booth and call some games, and it's going to be a blast.
I agree. I'm excited to see how this goes for them.
Next up on the list are the Warner Royals. I tell you what, there has been a lot of good glow-ups in the sun recently, and we'll call them out as we go, because there's been quite a few. Warner's one of them. They went a little more minimalistic, but not so much that you don't know what you're looking at. Unfortunately, they were 1-9 last year and had an over in the sun. And man, you've got a little bit of all-conference talent to replace.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, Ruddleston Petit. Is that Petit or Petit?
I'll take Petit.
Okay, yeah. Linebacker Ashton Mincy, defensive back Alante Marion, and kicker Hunter Smith. Obviously, replacing those all-conference guys on that defensive side of the ball is not ideal. I will say, though, it is pretty promising that they return most of their offense, considering they were a top 40 offense in the country, 37th in SP Plus with 3.16 yards per play. Hard to succeed when your defense is 7.52 yards per play, ranked 93rd out of 98 teams, but they can sling it, and they're bringing those guys back that are slinging it.
Yeah, that 7.5 is toughy right there to overcome. But I will point out that Hunter Smith, the kicker, is now at Florida Atlantic. So, I mean, okay. We'll take it. We'll take it. But this is a team that, I mean, you know, you've got the Crooked Lake rivalry between them and Weber. That's always going to be a big game. You know, there was a time where the Sun was very much Warner and Weber. And, man, Warner's just got to get back to it. There's a lot of good things happening at Warner. They're getting their own field as well, a couple years behind Weber. But, you know, you got to have a good field there, because you got a good flag football team to put on that field as well. And now it's going to work for a lot of folks.
Yeah. Always love getting new facilities, new fields, new stuff to play around with. And you know what? Warner's got some pieces here. I'm excited to see how they can do. The Sun Conference is pretty unforgiving, but they got a lot of things to look forward to, I think.
Next up is Florida Memorial, the Lions. Another great logo upgrade over the last few years for the Lions. And they have really done a nice job over the last couple years. I think their first year, I'm fairly certain, was 2020, and they kind of had a rough go of it in 2020 for obvious reasons. But since then, they have started to really catch on and really start to get a hold in the sun. Even if they're 85th out of 98 in SP Plus, there's definitely some growth happening down in the gardens.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of pieces that are coming back that were a part of that, obviously. You have a pair of running backs, George Young and Quino Marcetti, Wide receiver Keon Brown, offensive lineman Justin Mack, and defensive lineman Christian Mabel, the staple of that front unit on the defensive side of the ball. They don't have any all-conference guys leaving. That's pretty big.
That's what happens when you're such a young program. You haven't yet quite timed those guys out. I will note that Marcette is an addition from Ave Maria coming over from the west side of the state to the east side of the state there. And, I mean, that's almost an 800-yard guy, and you put him in the backfield with George Young again. That is – you could see a very between the tackles, pounded out kind of team, especially when you bring back almost all the your offense, headlined by quarterback Antoine Williams there. But you got Keon Brown coming back. You've got, of course, we already talked about Marcette and Young. This is an offense that is definitely poised to make a big leap this year.
100%. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I'm hoping I get to see a lot of that ground and pound with two very phenomenal running backs in the backfield.
Good defense here. Majority returns most of your D-line. A few of your linebackers, but most of your defensive backs. If you're able to plug the holes at linebacker, I think you're going to be fine, and you're going to see a good bit of growth out of Florida Memorial. You know, maybe not jumping into the top half, but definitely, I think they're going to give a couple of the top half reasons for the head coach to yell at halftime. We'll put it like that. Next, we're going to head back up to the Northland, to the other side of the Crooked Lake. It's the Weber Warriors, and yes, Weber and Warner do share a lake. They're both on the same lake, which, you know, is about as Florida as you can get. Weber had a good year last year, was 3-3 in the Sun, which, when you're talking about looking at Southeastern and Kaiser and St. Thomas, that's not bad. You're almost best of the rest there, and you were able to crack that 500 record, and you have a positive net yards per play, and you're still somehow below the halfway mark of SP Plus at 63rd.
Yeah, and this was a Weber team too that was making some noise early in the year, like getting some votes and polls and really giving the top half of the conference some trouble, which I think is a testament to how they've developed over the years. I mean, this is a very competitive program, and like you said before, the Sun is pretty brutal. It's pretty intense. And to be 6-4 and have some pretty good pieces, kind of tough to have a winning record still be in the bottom half. But they do have Blake Birchler and Christopher Sipple coming back at quarterback. They have all their running backs returning. They have a few of their receivers turning on the offensive side of the ball. I think the big loss here for them is Devontae Harris on defense, first team all conference.
I mean, that is a big loss there. 51 tackles, 3 interceptions. Just really, man, you got to replace him. One of the things I want to just call out here while we've got it, you hear us talk about the name Steve Speakman every week. You hear it at the end of the show about every week. Yeah. He happens to be the associate head football coach, director of football operations, and the safeties coach for Weber. So that doesn't tell you that the NAI coaches are putting their money where their mouth is. I don't know what will. I think Weber's going to have a good year this year. You do return a good bit of your team, even though you didn't have much all-conference talent. Definitely is something where you could see really this bottom half with Warner Flomo, sorry, Florida Memorial. I learned last year they did that. The Flomo name is frowned upon. Sorry, guys. And Weber could really bring up that bottom half and raise the floor of the Sun Conference and start to make this a very extremely tight conference. And if Thomas is able to put something together within a couple of years, which you never know, you know, the flag football team comes out and gets to the, is the national runners up their first year. You never know what can happen. We can all be surprised here. But if that happens, you're talking about the Sun as a top tier division within the NAIA. We'll see what happens with this bottom half here. And we'll be back after this word from our friends at AdCraft.
So you want to create and sell custom merch for your team or business. That's exciting, but where do you begin? How much inventory should you order? How do you distribute orders? AdCraft has your answers. Streamline the way you offer custom merch by utilizing our risk-free web store service. We ship directly to each customer, and we have the fastest turnaround in the game. Raise funds for your team or get merch to your employees and patrons. Contact AdCraft today, and let's bring your merch to life.
And that is precisely what AdCraft does. Just to give you an idea of the quality of the web store that AdCraft is putting up here, let's take a look at my buddy John's. That's still loading. I mean, just a lot of really nice stuff. I mean, I love the eagle. The eagle is pretty sick there. But you've got a lot of stuff, whether it be the pullover, whether it be the sleeveless. It's got something for everyone. Hats. The Sun River hat, which I can totally see John Cooper rocking that hat 100%. Something for every budget here. There's my $15 I'm a cheapo t-shirt. The folks at AdCraft can make it happen for you, no matter what your goal is, whether it's to have everybody and their brother have your stuff and so you sell a whole bunch of $15 tees, or whether it's to raise some money and we sell some of the nicer stuff. They're going to work with you. They are the best in the business. But let's get on to the top half of the conference, starting with the Southeastern Fire. And just a team that has had a lot of coaching turnover in the last couple of years. We'll see if they're able to put it together, because when they're at their peak, Southeastern is working very close to the top of the Sun. They're trying to get playoff positions. The last few years have been definitely a struggle for SEU.
Yeah, especially with an 80th ranked offense, excuse me. That's just going to make it hard to score points and win games for you. Especially when you have first-team all-conference quarterback Caleb Wiggins leaving, running back Brian Bell. You also have offensive lineman Trey Dickerson, and on the defensive side of the ball, first-team all-conference linebacker Mark Vichek. Oh, yeah, that's a CH, ain't it? And defensive back Khalid Scott. And first-team all-conference kicker Ashton Garner's gone. A lot of holes to fill for this team, but on the bright side, you do return Shane McLaughlin, Ryan Cunningham, and Logan Gregory.
Shout out to Brian Bell. Definitely one of the good ones. I remember a couple years ago when I went to Southeastern to see a game. I was also covering Vanderbilt at the time, strangely enough. And Brian comes in and has lunch with me in the cafeteria there at Southeastern. Just a good dude. And I know he is trying to find his way over in the Euro Leagues and trying to see if he can find a spot there. Rooting for you, Brian. Kalen Wiggins was just a feels like a one-year rental, maybe two, but man, he was great last year in terms of what he was able to bring to that Southeastern offense. But you've got to get back to your Cooper Jones days where you're slinging the ball around. You've got all sorts of great receivers at your disposal. You've got to get back up to the top. You know, and I don't know, maybe returning a minority of the offense actually works for you there. Maybe, just maybe, you've had some guys in the wings, and maybe this one extra year where you had Wiggins in – means that you had one extra year of development for Hudson Jones and Henry Ostad or whoever it is that you're bringing in.
100%, and you also get the added benefit of most of your defense coming back, who was a 30th ranked unit in all of the NAIA next year. That's reason to be excited. And with some of the offensive turnover, maybe you can get a new identity on the offensive side of the ball and make things work again. The benefit of the Sun Conference and all these schools is that Florida, South Georgia, the Southeast in general, like I said earlier, there's just so much talent to pull from and so many gems that fly under the radar because of how much talent there is to pull from. Southeastern in recent years has been able to take advantage of that. They've gotten some really talented guys on the team and they're able to sell well to these recruits. And I think it's there's a lot to be excited for if you're Southeastern.
I mean, honestly, if I'm a recruit, it's a beautiful campus. It's a beautiful facility. The backdrop behind me is a shot there. At Southeastern, it's a championship program. It's you know, they were the number one ranked baseball team for most of the year last year. It's a beautiful campus. I don't know why you wouldn't want to go there. You're situated in the heart of Lakeland. You got a lot of talent to go around. I think it's a win, not an if Southeastern turns the corner and gets back to where it wants to be.
100%.
Next up is the team that I still haven't figured out quite what their nickname means, the Ave Maria Gyrenes. You know, I would think if they were like a hurricane, they'd be like the Gyres, but Gyrenes, still haven't yet figured that one out. Maybe it's a bulldog hurricane. I don't know. But they were good last year. Even if they did have a negative net yards per play, you know, this is one of the best balanced offenses and defenses in the NAI. We've seen a lot of weird 5-85s here. Now we're getting the 44-43s. And I like seeing a little balance to the force.
For sure. Before we talk ball, though, I do want to drop some mascot knowledge on everybody here. They have a page on their website, which shout out the athletic department for doing that. What is a gyrene? First applied to the Marines as a jocular reference by other branches of the service, the Marines quickly adopted gyrene as an affectionate, self-descriptive phrase, one that made them stand out from other services. It's tied to the military. That's pretty interesting.
And that makes a lot of sense, seeing that they really do love their camo helmets.
Mm-hmm. Bulldog makes sense, too, for that, yeah.
Yeah, with the Marines. Yeah, okay. Makes sense now. So nobody really knows what a gyrene is. It's just a nickname for the Marines. Works for me.
There you go.
All I
know,
the more
you know,
is that they got an absolute metric ton of people coming back.
Yeah, you got a quarterback, couple first-team all-conference wide receivers in Joshua Jenkins, and Roman Newkirk. I mean, my goodness, this is just an embarrassment of riches. This is crazy.
Newkirk also punted. He didn't make all conference for that somehow, but he also punted and had a 39-yard average. I don't want that to fly under the radar because that's pretty dang good in this league.
Yeah, that's a talented guy. You also have tight end Brock Summers, first-team all-conference O-line, Jose Fernandez. And on the defensive side of the ball, couple, one first-team all-conference linebacker and a second-team all-conference linebacker, Nate Hyman, Brian Galasso, and defensive back Bruno Desnor.
We'll take it.
Crazy. Yeah.
The only guy you're really losing is the guy we've already talked about, and it's Quinton Marsette. Lose him to Florida Memorial. I mean, this is a team that always takes it to Kaiser very closely. It makes Kaiser very uncomfortable year in, year out. And you're returning a majority of your offense, including all the dudes that we talked about. You have Brian Stimke coming back at running back. That's going to be your presumptive starter. And most of your wide receivers return, and you return about half of that defense, about half of the folks at every level. Though I will say, usually I cut off at about 10 tackles being my cutoff point for who's coming back and who was just simple depth. Ave Maria had a ton of people with like 7 to 9 tackles. So I feel like, even though that says half, you've got some quality depth there that you can rely on next year.
100%. This is a scary team if I'm in the Sun Conference. I am watching out for this squad because they were already making a bit of noise last season with what they were able to accomplish. Obviously, couldn't quite get over Kaiser or St. Thomas, but this was a scary squad, and they're returning enough to be scary again.
So we've talked about on our tour of the NAIA a couple of the teams that are going to be on revenge tours. We've talked about Bethel in Kansas, who was close to making it. We've talked about Texas Wesleyan and how they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. Next up is a team who's definitely going to have a chip on their shoulder, seeing that they beat a playoff team last year and still, beat the playoff team at home. I'm sorry, they played at the playoff team and still didn't make the playoffs. That's St. Thomas. That's crazy still.
Yeah, and this was a squad that had a top 20 defense, a 30th ranked offense that definitely got the job done. If I think there's one team that is the most pissed off in the entire country, it is St. Thomas, because this was a 9-2 team that beat a playoff squad on the road that made so much noise, and I feel like the past few years we've been talking about them a lot. They still didn't get in. I mean, you have Rontavius Farmer coming back with 1,500-plus yards to his name, who's probably the best running back in the entire country, at least in the conversation, for sure.
And how about these two wide receivers, Saquon Jeanneau-Pierre and Talitri Zhao? I mean, and two first-team offensive linemen. Keep going.
Yeah, and also two first-team all-conference defensive linemen. On the other side of the ball, Donnell Bennett and Nicholas Engler, also a linebacker, and Kendall Wilson. Two first-team all-conference defensive backs, Sidney Porter and Ja'Cory Austin. And a kicker to boot, literally and figuratively, in Alejandro Prado. Holy cow. I mean, you want to talk about a revenge tour? These guys were all pissed off enough to come back. And I'm scared if I'm on their schedule.
Here's all you'll lose. That's it. That's really
three
it.
Minutes.
Now, your turn majority on either side of the ball. The big thing for St. Thomas this year, their football coach is also the athletic director. So we know who's making these schedules here. It's the same guy. So there's no, the athletic director picks them and the coaches have to play. They're the same guy. So St. Thomas is going with a high-risk, high-reward schedule here for 2023. You do start off at home against Fort Lauderdale. All right, cool. The next week, you travel up to DeLand. You play at Stetson. FCS Pioneer. The next week, you travel up to Helena, Montana and play at Carroll.
Wow.
You get a bye week, and then you travel to Fort Worth, Texas, and you play at Texas Wesleyan.
I mean, you survived that.
Try keeping them out. If they go and they wipe all those teams out, try keeping them out.
Yeah. That's if you want to make a statement, that is exactly how you do it.
So, I mean, and 100% credit to Texas Wesleyan. Basically, the way I heard it go down was that the coaches found each other at the coaching convention, the FCA, and said, "Hey, one of us has got to make it next year. Let's just play each other."
I feel like a lot of conversations like that happen at the NAIA level, more so than we'd like to admit. It's just like, ran into coach. Hey, you guys want to play? Okay, sure.
that is true. That definitely does happen. But I love the statement, one of us has to make it.
One of us will get it. So why not us just take fate into our own hands.
Right. Absolutely love it. Also, you know, beautiful stadium, new turf grass, just the Sun does it right with their facilities. You know, it's, I will say, I'll see Thomas's in a bit, and we'll see what we can get Thomas's turned into, because they're under construction as well for their new football facility that will be available in a couple of years. So we'll see what that looks like. But I mean, so many of these teams are getting their on-campus stadiums. I mean, poor Florida Memorial has played in a city park for 3 years now, and you feel for them because it's you hate that off-campus facility. You know, but that's how you get the guys in Florida to come. And next up is going to be the granddaddy of them all with some of the nicest facilities league-wide. That's going to be the Kaiser Seahawks, the national runners-up from a year ago from the 12th seed. I don't know that I can say that too many times, that Kaiser came from the 12th seed and had a reasonably good chance of winning the Red Banner.
Yeah. I mean, this team surprised so many people last year. Because they beat Grandview, correct?
That, yeah. They beat, okay, so their path through the playoffs was Bethel of Tennessee, Morningside, Grandview, right. And then Northwestern.
Yeah.
They
made it work. That,
they scheduled hard. They scheduled really, really hard. And that's why that sixth-ranked defense is giving up 5.34. Because they played they didn't play a pioneer FCS school. They played a full 63 scholarship FCS school. Mm-hmm. Along with Valdosta State, who ain't no puppies.
No, they are some of D2's finest.
And Mississippi College, who resides in the same conference.
Mm-hmm.
They took it on the chin in those three games.
Yeah.
But
they were better for it.
I will say, though, one thing that I have not seen anywhere in the NAIA is the number of plays Kaiser had in a season. 1,010 plays. I've never seen quadruple digits.
It's a lot. And I mean, that's a testament to the offensive side of the ball, obviously keeping and maintaining possession. Obviously, it helps that you make it to the national championship game. But still, that's a lot of plays. Being able to stay on the field is super impressive for them. And a big part of that is their offensive line, who they have two members of returning that were all conference guys. And Scarlene...
We'll take Jean.
Jean. Okay.
We'll take it.
And Sayla the Logo. Also on the defensive... Yeah, there we go. I got one right. It's a miracle. And on the defensive side of the ball, you have Jatavius Black, Jalen Willis, and Wendell Fillord, who I feel like as a return specialist in DB first conference, we talked about a lot last year.
We really did. And here's the thing. The guy who's not on this list because he didn't make the all-conference team, which blows my mind, is Jaden Meisinger, who rushed for 1,057 yards and 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, and he's their backup. He's their backup. Or was their backup, obviously. He's going to be their starter with Marcus Burgess leaving, unfortunately, who was the first team all-conference running back. You had a dual-headed monster running back, and I think Jaden didn't quite get the love he deserved on the national level, but he's primed for another 1,000-plus yard season and probably more attention than he could ever want at a running back position.
One of my big questions here is who's going to try to fill Jalen Arnold's shoes? Another thing that I have not seen as we've been surveying the landscape of the NAIA is this stat. Jalen Arnold had 900 receiving yards last year from the tight end position, which led his team. Yeah. I have not seen a tight end lead his team in receiving yards in any other squad aside from this one.
100%. And I think it's a testament to Kaiser's style of football. They love having guys on the line who are big bodies that can make plays. They love being able to ground and pound the ball. They love being in your face. They love going at people. And it's paid off. I mean, you play that type of schedule last season. You go into the playoffs being an underdog, but you still squeak in after losing a few to start the year. And you take it to some of the NAIA's most storied programs. And just like it's nothing.
Yeah, and look, I mean, this is not going to be as pretty as you would have hoped. Technically, Shea Spencer is not done. My man just broke a bone, tore a ligament, something, in the national championship game and played it out. And so he is going to be out for a significant portion. I don't think he's... What they're telling me is they're not 100% certain that he's done for all of this season, even though he required required surgery and it was an extensive injury. But we'll get to see Bryce Beasley, who was the changeup that Morningside didn't see coming.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I'm excited to see him plug in and how it goes for him.
And then you do... You have to replace a lot of defensive linemen, and for a team like Kaiser, that's your bread and butter. So we'll see. We'll see what they get and what they've got coming back. Once we get there, I feel like a team like Kaiser, especially situated in West Palm Beach, they're going to be fine. You've got plenty of talent there. You've been able to say, hey, we came through a tough schedule and went all the way to the national finals. You can sell that.
Yeah. And also, you have some of the best facilities in the country, like on the beach.
I mean, they've got a driving range behind their football field that when you watch the game, you stare at the driving range. I'm like going, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah. Easy sell, successful program in recent years, and I mean, there's no reason to count them out, even with people that aren't returning. Like, they're going to reload. They're at the point now as a program where they're reloading a bit. Obviously, it'll be new faces. It'll be a lot of guys you haven't seen or got minimal playing time. But they'll still be in it. This team's not going to fall off at least all that much. You know, they're not going to be a losing program next year.
So let's take a look at our final standings. We have made our way through all 13 divisions of the NAIA, and now we can name the top division in the land, according to my very apparently subjective metrics. First up, average SP plus. You can see the Sun slots in at number 7. They're at 49.286, just behind the Hart South and before the KCAC B division. I've got to learn these names before Bissell. That was the Bissell division. I've got to learn these names at some point. It's not North and South. They make it tough on me. But our top average SP plus division is the Mid-South, averaging 33.57. Now, it's not all about who's at the top. It's about how you do top to bottom. Changes the math a little bit, puts the North Star on top at 20.308. The Sun slots in at number 11 with that 29.422. Now, what does this say for overall? Well, I would like to crown the Mid-South as the toughest division conference in the NAIA. It's close. That's a half a point to the Frontier.
I'm sure this won't cause any problems.
No, none whatsoever.
None at all. Yeah.
I mean, this is just my very simple way of determining this. And I'm open to suggestions, but, you know, we got to find some way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so our final conference picks. Matt, you want to lead us off?
Yeah, I talked to Kaiser quite a bit, but it's the team that I'm scared of that I'm picking here to win it, and that's St. Thomas. Very good squad from last year, returning a lot of guys. These guys want to run it back. They want to make a statement. They want to play the best teams in the country and let people know about it and run up scores and beat the crap out of people. When we talked about Bethel, that was a team I was like, oh, get out of the way. This is like times two that probably for St. Thomas. This is like a runaway freight train that is going Mach 5. And you better get off the tracks because it will hit you before you even see it coming. As for my dark horse, Thomas, sure. Let's go Thomas. New programs are very iffy. Hard to tell, but I think you have an established coach coming in who has been at upper levels of football, who knows what's going on, clearly. They're not showing a whole lot, which makes me think they know what they're doing. They don't want to be flashy. They don't want to gain attention about it. They want to do things their way. And obviously, being more military-focused academy, going to be some pretty disciplined football, at least in theory. So I think this team will make some noise next year. I don't think they're going to be the typical punching bag that you might see as a new team in the conference.
John is, we'll put it this way. He's not disagreeing with you about who's going to win the Sun. That is, last week we said that we were going to be bulletin board material for Ottawa of Arizona. This week, we're going to be bulletin board material for Kaiser. We accept our role and understand where we part we have to play in this whole thing.
We understand our grander role and everything this year. So we are accepting that, and we are presenting this to the board of bulletins in that locker room.
Absolutely. As for the dark horse, my man's going with the Weber Warriors, taking that step forward after a good season last year. As for me, I'm all about the revenge tour. But, I think it's already been stated fairly well. Even if they lose all four of those games to start the season, so we're all out of conference. And this year, as long as you win the conference, doesn't matter what you do at a conference. If you win the conference, you're in. Auto bid no matter where the heck you are. So bring on St. Thomas. Let's see what they got to offer. For me, my dark horse, I feel like they're not as much of a dark horse as we think they are, but on the other end, Ave Maria has a lot coming back. And I feel like if any year is going to be the year they beat some of the usual front runners of the Sun, this is going to be it. They've just got so much coming back. Talking about having so much coming back, though, we're thankful for our patrons coming back for another year of NAI football. If you want to support us in our journey through the 2023 season, hop on over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and join today. $1 a month helps us a whole bunch, more than you know there. And those names for the last time of the preseason. It's going to be DSU Cone, Darren, Bob Boone, Roger Meyer, Jeremy Vobble, Shirley Labella, Fred Christensen, Jerry Quickle, Ace Wellen, Marty Seabolt, Justin Cobb, Nick Ryan, Hayden Frenio, Kyle Gregory, Tyler Pierce, Justin Hoffman, Coach Steve Speakman, Brian Shake, Julianne Shager, Nate Soapbeer, Stephen Cutler, Julie Lau, Tim Burrow, Dale Norton, Nathan Moore, Dylan Gonzalez, Ryan, and Jason Crawford. Thank you guys so much for what you do. It does mean the world to us. We have made it. 13 divisions and conferences, somewhere to the tune of 95 to 97-ish teams. Oh, man. Next week, well, next week we'll have our first live show of the season, because that Thursday, the 24th, kicks it off. The paint bucket game, Jamestown versus Valley City State. Gonna get it going, gotta get the live show in. We'll have one more show, a little bonus episode for you. Chat between me and the home office, Austin Bennett, the NAIA championship manager for football, has been so kind to schedule some time with me to sit down and chat the state of the NAIA and answering some of the questions that I know y'all have, like how long does a grace period last if you have like five teams? Because I want to know that too, honestly. You know, how do we stem the tide in the NAIA of schools closing? How can the home office help? You know, stuff like that. Trying to figure out how we can continue to get better and grow as a level, because this is an incredibly good level of football, especially as evidenced by, look, I mean, the guy from Culver Stockton, Andrew Rupchich, he's getting some serious praise from Mike Vrabel. That guy might make a starting NFL offensive line.
That's nuts.
I mean,
but it's a testament, like you said.
He's got the size for it. But yeah, I mean, he's been able, second year player. You know, he's going to be able to do for that. We had Cam Dukes last week coming in for Chad Kelly, when Kelly got hurt and playing there in the CFL. This is definitely an overlooked level, and it is our intention to bring the attention that this level deserves and that it so sorely needs. But until next week and our first live show of the year, debuting our first poll of the year, in our first play of the week, dig one out from the archives in the national championship game to give you an idea of what it's going to look like this week with our friends at Telemetry Sports. But until then, I'm Corey Thorpe for the coach, John Cooper, and Matt Schwartzler. We'll see y'all on the Twitter timeline. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.